Yes, nice to have your company Wednesday morning. Finished our chat with David Noble. Straight to the website for you, rsn.net.au. While we continue the footy conversation right now, in fact, with the Norman Smith medalist and the four-time premiership star. Three of those were the Hawks. One of those were the rampaging Cats last year, of course. That only fits one description. That's one description. It suits Isaac Smith, who's about to join us. He's here with us right now, in fact. Isaac, are you on the line?
Half, how are you?
Hey, there he is. Nice to have you with us, mate. I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Well, looking forward to daylight savings ticking over because I'm sick of these dark mornings.
Well, it doesn't exactly become like the Bahamas when daylight savings finishes.
I don't know how you're handling it. It'll be pitch black at 4 a.m.
She's a bit dark, but that's all right. That's all right, because then we get the good stuff at the back end of the day. That's all right. Hey, I must admit, I was looking at the AFL ladder this morning, trying to find out where Geelong were. I had to go really deep at the moment.
Oh, don't do that to yourself.
Zipping two, which is clearly a long way from being disaster, but has it created a bit of an edge down the Cats, or is it smooth sailing still?
Yeah, well, it's probably been it's probably been a good thing. It's not a great thing because we'd prefer to be 1-1 or 2-0, but it certainly does make you sharpen yourself up a little bit and probably look at things more deeply than what you'd probably otherwise do. So, yeah, it was disappointing. I think we realised that we were going to have certain things going on at the start of the season, especially with some new guys that we brought in, and we're missing a little bit of personnel as well. So we were probably under no illusions that it was going to be an easy start to the season, especially playing Collingwood and Carlton at the MCG in big games straight up as well. So although it's disappointing, we feel like we've had two really good hit-outs. We certainly haven't been playing anywhere near our best, which is quite exciting. And we get a chance to go to the Gold Coast this week and hopefully put a win on the board.
When you've been to the top of the mountain, and you've been there four times, which is many, many more times than most of your teammates, how difficult is it to get back up again and start it all again and fight for that moment again? Is it easy because you've been there and you know what it tastes like and feels like and it's worth striving for? Or is it hard because you've been there and done that?
Well, I think you'd have to ask the individual. Personally, I quite enjoy the challenge of trying to win them and getting there. But I think, yeah, it can be, for certain individuals, it can be difficult, especially if that's been a goal of theirs and that's their ultimate goal. I think you hear a lot in psychology around the world, once you reach a goal, then you have to take some time to sort of sit back, reset and evaluate and see what the next thing is. But, yeah, it doesn't feel like... If anything, it feels like the guys are probably more hungry because they've been there, they've felt it, and they want to achieve it again.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's an interesting take. And you're probably right. You probably have to ask each individual. And for you, I mean, you talked about loving the chase and loving the challenge of getting back out there. You've experienced some great things in your footy career. Was this one as good as it's been, that premiership? I know we discussed it late last year, but is it still sort of lingering, that moment?
As good as it's been, I'm not sure. I think there was a little bit of emotion around it. One, we had a death in the family, but two, I think it was a massive call for myself and my wife to decide to pack up and leave Hawthorn and move down to Geelong, and there were a lot of reasons around that, and we took a little bit of a risk and a little bit of a punt, and I guess you feel a sense of achievement and accomplishment, and you made a decision, and there's been an element of success around that as well. So, yeah, there was plenty of factors that made it a pretty special day, and, I'm forever thankful that it occurred, and it'd be nice for it to happen again.
Yeah, I'm sure it would. And it's still very much in the offing. The next 3 weeks look pretty good to me, but we'll get to that shortly. Just on what you've seen so far from the team, you mentioned some personnel out, which is absolutely right. I mean, Tom Stewart, Kolejny, Mitch Duncan across halfback as well. So that most of your defence is under the pump. What have you seen so far that's an area of growth for you in the first couple of weeks, do you reckon?
I think we've played, well, we brought, and it was pretty well publicised that we brought in Jack Burrows from Gold Coast, Turner Brewer from GWS, and Ollie Henry from Collingwood.
Yep.
And Burrows is a little bit older, but the other two are still very young and very raw in their football careers. So I think we'll see a little bit of growth happen there just naturally once they learn the way we play and understand how we want them to play and how they can help sort of our system. So that's exciting. Joel's obviously stepped away, so we've seen some growth in other guys stepping up there. And I just think there's probably a little bit of natural growth to occur anyway, because even though, yeah, we had a very old list, you had guys like, well, Tyson Stengel hadn't played a hell of a lot of footy with us. Sam De Koning was having a huge impact on the competition late last year, and he'll continue to. So we've got some guys that don't have much footy under their belt as well. And I think that's exciting for the footy club. So, yeah, there's a little bit of growth to happen this year. Hopefully we can get back and start playing the footy we're playing like we were towards the end of last year.
Some of the numbers are suggesting that defensively is where the biggest challenge is for the Cats at the moment. We saw you last year defend unbelievably and then attack, and the whole competition's come with you on this attack mindset, which is great for the spectators. Is that the biggest area of concern at the moment, the defensive capability of the squad?
You know, it's funny. Defensively, yeah, and you missed Jack Henry when you were sort of naming the list of defenders before as well. But, yeah, defensively, yeah, we've got a bit of work to do. But I think if you ask any coach, defence and offence all tie in together. And I don't think we've probably been moving the ball we'd like to. We certainly haven't been winning it as much as we want to. And we've probably been giving possession to the opposition a hell of a lot more than we want to. And then when your defence is undermanned by four players, then you start to see cracks start to open up. So, yeah, we think if we can do some better things around the ball and actually move the ball a little bit better, then our defence will be in a better position just naturally. It'll give us more time to set up. So, yeah, it's funny. We are leaking a few more points than what we'd like, but we think there's some easy fixes there if we can sort a couple of other things out.
Normal Smith medalist Isaac Smith from the Cats is joining us on Breakfast on a Wednesday morning. Can I ask you about Jeremy Cameron? I think his performance the other night was off the charts. I think he's the best player in the competition. When did you work out he's a really good player?
Well, I was fortunate enough to play against Jezza for a long time, and I think it was pretty obvious that he was one of the best players in the competition, but he was off Broadway. He was in Western Sydney, and now he's landed in Geelong. I think the competition is truly seeing the true Jeremy Cameron. And we see a lot of great players up at GWS, but it must be difficult for them when they're not playing in front of those big crowds. And Jeremy's certainly one that his performance lifts. The bigger the crowd, the more energy you feel in the stadium. And yeah, Friday night he was off the charts. He was awesome. And I've been fortunate to play with a few good forwards in my career, and Jeremy's right up there.
Yes, he's pretty. What about the other big one? How's Big Tomahawk going? Is he? I mean, he had an interesting off season. That foot injury was keeping him away from training from a fair bit. It was a sluggish start. Is he going to be okay, the big fella?
Yeah, he'll be fine. I think, as everyone knows in footy, if you can't sort of smash out a pre-season, then you're going to be a little bit behind the eight ball early. And yeah, poor Hawk wasn't able to do a lot of the footy stuff during the season. So I think you'll see his touch and his fitness levels rise over the next couple of weeks. And he's still been, I think I saw a stat the other day, he's still in the top three or four in the competition for score involvements, which he usually leads most years. So, yeah, if you're going off that, he's dropped off a couple of percent. But I think we all expect him to be back to his best pretty soon.
Yep, well, Cats fans would love to see that. Two pretty handy players, Cameron and Hawkins in the forward half for the Cats. How are you going? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Moving around okay, getting a kick still. The day I stop getting a kick will be the day I stop playing. So I'm getting older, you never know.
You don't look it. You're looking pretty good to me, so that's all positive. So just keep going. You've had some conversation in the last couple of weeks. So you had your 50th game for the Cats last week, and you were talking about father-son opportunities and rules about that. What sort of feedback have you had about the premiership rule?
Yeah, it's been a little bit 50-50, maybe 70-30 against it. that's just jealousy of the clubs that haven't won them. No, I think I've always just had that thought that I love the romance in footy and love that, like, at the moment you see at Collingwood, you see the Dacos brothers, and that's pretty special. And there is, and as much as maybe people hate to admit, there is a difference between a player that's played 50 games for a club and hasn't won a premiership or a player that has played 50 and won a premiership. You're probably forever connected and forever entwined in the history of the football club. So I just threw it out there as a bit of a discussion point, and I think it made it a few conversations over the next couple of days. I think that's the beauty of footy. You get to sit back and listen to people's opinions. Do I truly believe it should happen? No, but is it an interesting discussion? And is something that could happen in the future? Yeah, maybe. But I think footy's not a bad thing just to sit back. Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone picks their top eight at the start of the year. So, yeah, it's interesting. I would love to see it happen. Where am I saying my kids will ever play AFL footy? No, but I just love the romance of seeing ex-players' kids play for the football club that their parents played for.
So hang on a second. You're telling me you're throwing grenades and dropping bombs and just watching everyone scatter and just run for their life and not really worrying about the result. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't think this comment had a huge issue of what the result was going to be.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Only you can say that and get away with it. The other big topic in footy at the moment are the sling tackles and the bumps. We've seen some unbelievable scenarios in the first couple of weeks of the season, and this is on the back of the whole conversation around head trauma and the effect it's having on players presently but also in the future as well. What's the conversation like within the walls of the Cats? Does Chris lead this conversation about looking after each other? Is it a player-led conversation, considering you got the president of the PA in your team, the captain of your club, Paddy Dangerfield? What's the conversation sound like?
Yeah, well, to be honest, there's not a hell of a lot of conversation around specific incidents or certain things that are occurring in the game. It's more the broader conversation, and this has been led by Michael McDeesey at the AFL, but also the Players Association around player safety and safety certainly around players' heads. So we're seeing a hell of a lot of information now pop up in the news. And as a player, this information's been fed to us over the last few years that this is only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think the conversation sort of, if broadly speaking, goes around the sense of players just having more of a duty of care on how they attack the ball or an opposition player, or even the way they go about a technique, certainly one thing that being coached with these scenarios as well. So you are seeing now where probably back in your day, half, it was more about how much pain and how much injury can you inflict on the opposition. It's more you're there to win the ball and you're there to win the game, but you certainly have a duty of care to the opposition that's out there.
Yeah, well, and there's no doubt about that. The times have changed, and for many and varied reasons, and for the better, it must be said, the way that the game is carrying itself these days. But I have been surprised by some of the incidents we've seen so far in the first 2 weeks. Hopefully, we don't see too many more of them. A couple of things for you off topic. Knight Grand Final, you're the best. Are you the only four-time premiership player currently playing in the competition? Are you the man to talk about when we talk about Grand Finals? Said to say goodbye. I think he said to say goodbye then. We've lost him. Oh, he's there. Is he back there?
You got me?
I got you. You're back.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there up in your studio. You flicked me off, did you?
Well, I didn't do anything. Yeah, button boy might have had a moment, but I didn't do anything. Just as we get to the conversation, are you the only four-timer still playing?
I haven't done the numbers, but I'd think so.
Yeah, I think you might be. So the only one really to talk to about these things, the grand final is a night grand final or a day grand final. The AFL still don't know what they're doing with that. What do you think?
You know what I genuinely think?
Yeah?
I think they should do whatever the best spectacle is for the game, because that's the best opportunity and the biggest opportunity to grow the game.
Is that for the fans or is that for the TV?
I think it's both. I just think you've got to do what's best for the game. I personally, I think twilight would be good because you'd get awesome halftime moment where it's darkening up and you can do a pretty cool show, especially with now lighting and all the stuff that entertainment people are able to do. So I just think you do whatever the best spectacle is. And I'm sure the AFL have got data and information on that. So I certainly don't have a preference, to be honest. I really enjoyed the Gabba Grand Final that was at night. I thought that was a very cool spectacle.
Yep.
I also love the day game and love that you can rock up and the sun's shining. So as a player, I certainly don't have a preference. As a fan, I think the AFL should just do what the best spectacle is for the game and what's the best opportunity to grow the game.
Righto. And last one before I let you go. If Ash Hansen, who's the senior assistant at Carlton, worked for Fox Footy and they were covering Geelong and Richmond, would you allow, or would you think Geelong would allow Ash Hansen in the rooms prior or post-game?
To be honest, Harp, where the family stand, I don't think there's any information that anyone's going to get. I always find it very amusing, whether it's our club that stop people coming in or not, or whether it's others. I just think there's not a hell of a lot that's shown where all the family is standing after the game. I can hardly hear when I'm in there as a player because there's that many people in there talking. So, to be honest, it's a power move clubs can pull. Would I pull it if I was in charge? Probably not.
Fair enough. Well, you've got work to do this week. You've got the Gold Coast up at Metricon Stadium, 210 Heritage Bank. Sorry, not Metricon, Heritage Bank Stadium in Queensland, 210 on Sunday.
Good interest rates at the moment?
Oh, I don't know. You'll have to ask them when you get up there. I love how you're worried about the interest rates.
They call themselves Heritage Bank because they're back.
Back in 1960?
10 years ago or 5 years ago, or what's
the go? Well, maybe their heritage pre the 10 consecutive interest rate rises, Isaac. We'll see. You can find out for us and report back to us.
Hopefully it's not heritage late 80s, early
90s. No, we don't want the 80s ones at 19%. We don't want them. But we want to see you out there winning games for the Cats. We wish you the best of luck this week. Always a pleasure to have you on. Don't forget to turn your clock back an hour.
Thanks, Alf. Good to have a chat.
Always a pleasure. Isaac Smith, Norm Smith medalist, four-time premiership star in the AFL. He's got some work to do. What about that little bomb he dropped about the father-son premiership thing and didn't even believe it?